You don't have to quit your 9-to-5 to travel the world and travel well. Don't believe me? Then keep listening to the Erica James Travel Show. Erica James is the travel diva who's got you covered. You're about to receive the latest scoop and insider travel secrets and tips that will make your next trip your best trip. Erica isn't only going to inspire you to travel. She's going to make you a better traveler. Now, let's start the show.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Erica James, better known as EJ, the Travel Diva, and you are listening to episode number 83 of the Erica James Travel Show. And today, we have a special guest, Laura Delorado. She is a writer, body image advocate, and the creator of the sex positive newsletter called 1-800-HEY-LAURA. So I cannot wait for you all to hear this episode as we talk about how does travel, self-love, and sex intersect all together. Dating abroad, we're talking about dating abroad, loving your body, dating, sex, everything. Yes, we're talking about sex, baby. We're talking about you and me. And she is going to really open your eyes up and give you some tools and tips on how to feel comfortable with yourself and how being comfortable with yourself plays a role in your sex life and your travel. So, without further ado, I'm going to bring Laura on so she can explain everything to you all. And this is a really great episode. So let's invite Laura on and welcome her to the Erica James Travel Show. Welcome, Laura Delorado, to the Erica James Travel Show. It is such a pleasure. I'm using the word pleasure to have you on the podcast today because I really wanted to talk about travel and self-love and get into a little some spicy things about self-love. I don't know why I feel a little strange saying the word sex and travel and something like that. But before we dive into all of that, I just want to welcome you and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the space that you're in. I'll let you tell everything.
Oh, no problem. First off, hello. Thank you so much for your beautiful introduction. I totally understand that, like, feeling weird talking about travel and sex. Like, for some reason, it feels a bit like, I wouldn't say taboo, but it does feel a little bit like, whoa. We're not in our hometown doing this. Like, we're out somewhere else. So I get that. This is quite the story. So I will say that, like, this all kind of started with my own personal journey with body image, which is like really dovetails nicely into like how the book is created. But when I was like 24, 25, 20, one of the 20s, because, you know, time has passed. Time is a flat circle. No one knows what time it is. I was in college, in grad school, trying to figure out like my like body image stuff. I was like, Not to be like downer moment, but I, and certainly something I can laugh about and talk about now, but like, I was definitely going through like eating disorder recovery and having a really hard time, like finding my way to that, especially after being like, bulimic and having an eating disorder since I was like 13 years old. So I was like in a place in my life where I was like handing in papers to my grad school professors and then like going to like the like a local like recovery meeting in the West Village like in New York trying to figure things out, but like really not like getting any traction because, you know, old habits die hard, but also it's like an addiction at that point. And I, in order to pay my rent and go to grad school, I needed a job that was close enough to my like to my school in order so I could like, you know, pick up extra shifts. So I ended up working at this really cool, really smart sex toy shop called the Pleasure Chest. And they have two in New York. Now they have two in New York. At the time they didn't. They have one in Chicago and they have like a really like longstanding one in Los Angeles. And basically like in order to work there, you you can like be a sales associate and that's really great. Or you can like take a test to be a sex educator and like become like someone who, like right now, Erica, I could look at two sex toys and tell you like what the material is, like if they're like good for your body, like what kind of lube you need for each one. Like it's I really got like a, like as I was getting my master's, like really got a full master's degree in like sex education.
Wow.
Yeah. And like that actually, like, you know, talking to people about what's they like, giving people the education and just like the knowledge of how to make good decisions for their body when it comes to pleasure, really allowed me to start like stop and think about like how I wasn't doing that for myself. And those sort of worlds converged and it became like a huge part of my life, because at the end of the day, when you're having sex or doing anything pleasurable, it's often body related.
You know? Right.
We gotta take off that outfit.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, it's probably cute, but like we're often naked at the precipice of whatever we know about like sex and pleasure. And I think especially in the US, like you either go to sex ed or you don't. And the sex ed that you hear about or that you've learned about doesn't really include pleasure or consent or anything or body image. So I just saw this like really interesting Venn diagram between the two. And as I like moved into like my 9-to-5 career, I'm a creative director. I like work in advertising basically. I like saw it as a way as like my 5-to-9 career that could like sometimes move in and out of my 9-to-5. So that's my like longer, shorter story of how I got here.
Oh my goodness. You mentioned about body image, how it is like, it fuels a lot of things in your life. It really does. And while you were saying that, I was thinking about it. It really does. It fuels like how you feel about yourself. I even think about like, I recently just lost a lot of weight, but when I go back and look at some of my travel pictures, I'm just like, oh my God, I wish I could do these trips all over again. So that I can look better in the pictures. You know, sometimes I don't even want to use the pictures, but, and then even when I travel, sometimes, like you said, I mean, even your travel pictures and your swimsuits and I mean, your body image just really can dictate how you feel when you travel, how you feel about yourself, what you will and will not do in life.
Oh yeah. And it's like, weight is such an interesting part of all of this, because it obviously there's like people feel good in certain weights, like people don't feel good in certain weights. Oftentimes like our bodies are trying to get us back to the weight that we're like naturally supposed to be in, but like no one talks about that, whatever. But like you could be in a body that is traditionally standard for like what we see as valuable, and you could have terrible body image, or you could be like a larger person and you've worked on your body image and just like made that conscious decision to feel good in your body and like learn how to do that through like, you know, maybe not like sexual pleasure, non-sexual pleasure, therapy, finding ways to have that conversation with yourself. And you could feel like the baddest bee on the beach in Punta Cana, Dominican Republic. Like, right. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And I think that like that conversation and that like education and just like that self, that like self-taught self-worth is nothing that anyone talks about. So it's hard, but like, I'm glad that we're all here and trying to figure it out. Also, I like love that I love that you're just like cool travel lady. I know lady's not a cool word, but my grandma used to say lady. So I always say so much of like who we are funnels through this like travel persona we have. Like you have to really like rely on yourself, trust yourself, feel safe in yourself. And then you're like out here trying to take like hot pics and maybe you don't feel good in yourself. How does that work?
Right. And you don't want to miss the opportunity to get great pics and you know, and remember what you did and where you were, because I've been there before where I'm like, you know what? I don't feel my best self. I don't look great. I really don't want to take these pictures. But at the same time, if I don't, when I get back home, I'm going to be so mad that I let my body image make me miss out on the opportunity to capture a moment. I feel like I have done that. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that feels like you got
to push through
these
pictures. You are not the only
pictures.
one. We're not the only one. I've done that too. Like, that is not like, yeah, we're all in that.
Yeah. And it's something we got to learn on the inside. So, and you talk a lot about like self-love and, you know, how does the self-love and travel come together for you and others?
Oh, that's a good question. I think like, self-love and travel is really interesting because as you have to, like I said, you have to sort of rely on yourself. You have to trust yourself. You have to like navigate this new place and these new things. Like even if you're, where was I? I was just in Denver and which is not that different. Like, it's like, I'm going from New York to Denver, still here, but like, you have to like find your way to like, to move through the world. And that requires you to like know who you are. And that knowing who you are requires you to like love yourself. And that like sort of gives you this like sort of cycle of trust and cycle of like really interesting power that you have. So when you go out into the world and go out on your like cool travel experience, like when I went to like Paris for the first time, you sort of have to like find your way from your tiny little cafe shop to the other tiny little cafe shop, even though they're all really cute and tiny and they're very sweet and perfect. And just like find your confidence or feel like that you can feel confident in this new space. Also for me, like, you know, like I said, I grew up in, or I don't know if I said that here, but like I grew up in New York. I grew up in the Bronx. I grew up with my grandparents who were very, very stressed out Italian Catholic people who never, if they had their choice, would never have me like leave the house because like they were so terrified of everything, which is so like, that's the most neat Bronx. It's like the most Bronx, New York Catholic Italian family like stereotype I could say, but it's so true. That's who we all are. And I felt very landlocked and very like scared to move off, like go off my block and go off like to a different world or place, whatever, mm-hmm. for such a long time, because I was like, that fear of like something bad could happen to me when I like leave was so instilled in me. So travel for me became a thing that like, not only did I have to like book a ticket, find my hotel, do the thing or find my Airbnb, made it so that I had to like trust that I could take care of myself when I got there, and that I was okay. And then when I got back to my like my home, to my home court advantage here in New York, everything that I was scared of in New York, or everything that made me feel nervous about, like whether it was like asking someone on a date or saying no or whatever it is, didn't feel as scary anymore because I had already proven that to myself somewhere else. That's my long answer.
No, I love that. Because
I love a long answer.
I love that because I try to tell people, I was like, travel will change you. And not people, not a lot of people understand that, but especially like you're saying, you've already faced your fears when you got out there and you traveled. So when you came back, things in your normal life and world doesn't seem so scary and complicated. I try to tell people, you got to get out there and travel. It will change you as a person. It just makes you less afraid and more confident. You agree?
It's so true. It's so true. I agree 1,000%. And it's just like, you just go somewhere, and you know the funny thing about travel, and like this is also veers off into how sexy travel can be, but you could like, I think we all have like a version of ourselves in our brains. Like yes. The version I have of myself in my brain is like Sophia Loren.
Yeah.
Maybe not that, but like, I mean, like she's our deity in like, if you grew up in an Italian like grandparent home, that's like that's who we look to. And I just like see myself as this like Italian goddess that floats through the world eating like gelato, like pistachio gelato. And when I go places, I just try to be like, okay, where is that Laura? Let's find that yes. Laura here, because no one knows other Laura. And then like, I've practiced this new Laura, this like version of myself that I really want, but I'm terrified of sometimes. And then I come back and I'm like, look at me being the new, like my cool, this version of myself that I really like, or that I really wanted to like embody.
And do you solo travel?
I do. I like, you know, it's funny. I just very still domestic, but I just spent 2 weeks in Chicago for myself. I basically I always had this like weird, silly dream to like live in the Midwest. And I was like, I'm just gonna go pretend that I live in the Midwest. And just like pretend like I'm on this season of Chicago. Which is like when I think about solo travel, I think about myself as a character in a show. Like I'm like I showed up as like a 2 week character arc in someone's like TV show of their life. And like who is that girl? Who is that new girl who like showed up on this in like the West Loop in Chicago, and now she's not here. Who was she? So I think that's really funny.
I love that you say that because people always talk about solo traveling and they tell you, oh, just get out there and solo travel and all of that. But no one ever talks about what you have to say to yourself and what you go through on the inside to solo travel. Like you say, you picture yourself as someone else or another character. When I first started solo traveling, I would always say to myself, what would EJ the travel diva do? Because that's my social media name. I was like, EJ the travel diva would not sit in the room and be silent or by herself. She would get out there, go to the pool and meet people. And you have to talk yourself through these things. And I think a lot of people when they promote solo travel out there, they don't tell you, it's really not easy. It gets easier, but in the beginning, you really have to talk to yourself and pump your own self up.
That is the truest statement. Whenever I see a solo travel article, they're just like, and then I did this and everything was fine. And I put my camera somewhere and I took a cool selfie while they all take like their cool selfies as if like you're not just like putting your like camera so your phone somewhere and someone can take it. You get that can be stolen anywhere. Come on, girl. Wow. But like you're so right. There isn't that conversation of what it takes to even get on the plane or even get to like your Airbnb or whatever. Like you have to really find some sort of like internal dialogue that you know that you're going to be okay. I have a very sweet girlfriend. She's like the coolest person in the world. She's super fun and wonderful. And I will say that she's like a she, but she also grew up in Europe. Like she grew up in Spain and she's like, doesn't have that thing. Like she just like goes and does. And she tells me these stories. She's like, yeah, I like just in her beautiful, beautiful Spanish accent. She's like, oh yeah, I spent like this much. Like I spent like 4 weeks on the road doing this. And we like lost power that one night, but everything was fine. And I was like, you are an outlier in this. Like you're the only one who feels this way. Like you're the only one who like experienced that. And I think it's just because she grew up like having to like move from different places to different places because of like her family's like business. But like for me, growing up in the Bronx, where like people don't, or at least like where I grew up, people don't like often move off their block or move out of like their neighborhood. Or if they do, like every cousin of mine lives next to their parents. They all have houses next
Me
to each other.
too, me too. We're all
Every time,
still here.
we're also here. Like every time I go see my cousin Gina, I go see my Aunt Ro, who's literally the house next door, which I love. I'm like two for one. Love this. Good for everyone. But I'm also like, that's such a thing. So when you have to, you're like, I'm gonna go experience a new world, a new culture, a new language, like a new everything. You just gotta like, there's a level of having a conversation with yourself and self-love and just like recognizing your boundaries and your values that needs to happen. And, in this really fun parallel, it's a really good way to have a conversation about sex with your partner, with a new person while you're on your cool vacay. It's like a really good muscle to learn to like build up inside of you that like is transferable to this like the most intimate thing that we could all do.
Oh my
Cool. It's so
goodness. Yeah,
weird.
it really is. Now you talk about like you just mentioned about build up into like if you're going to trip with your significant other, your person. And okay, so episode number, I want to get your take on this. Episode five of my podcast, the topic was, would you go on a vacation with someone that you're not in a relationship with? What are the guidelines? What would you do? What would you say upfront? Have you ever been on a trip with someone you're not in a relationship with?
I mean, my best friend, like, who's the coolest person. My best friend and I. But like, I've never done that where I've like gone on a trip with someone I'm not in a relationship with. But I'm guessing the potential of like sexy time is happening or just like intimacy is happening. I think for that is like, first off, so cool. Look at how cool people are. I love the idea of like, there are these ideas of like dating and like who, relationships to each other. And I'm really liking that we're all starting to like break away from the template and we're making our own templates, which is really nice, which gives us like a lot of freedom to make our like sex lives and our relationships and our like keeping each other's heart safe, like in the way that we want, instead of these like templates that, we apparently just all like go into. But I think for that, I think that's first off really cool. Have a good time. And then the second thing is sort of like have a conversation around boundaries. I do this thing with my partner and previous partners and lovers that I have, like where I do a yes, no, maybe list. And yes, no, maybe is basically like a really cool version of how to like talk about boundaries, what people are into. And the typical version of it is sort of like you have a list of like sex acts and like off to the side, your list of sex acts that you just have off to the side that everyone just has. But you can find it on the internet. And you separately from this person go hang out at home and like be like, yes, I would do this, give or receive. No, I wouldn't do this. Maybe I would do this. I don't know. Like the reason, maybe I don't know too much about it, whatever. And the no's are like hard no's. We're not doing this. This is how we have conversations around consent and like keeping people's hearts safe and bodies safe. And then that person's doing the same thing. And then you go have like a cute pre-flight date or coffee. And then you go, hey, and it could be sex acts. It could also just be like intimacy. Like I'm not like kissing in front of people, holding hands, seeing each other every single night. Like, can we see other people? Can I go on a date? Whatever. Like, have those on the list as well. And then have a really cute little date. You possibly over some pasta. That's my number one. Or like a coffee date and like talk about it. Like, go be like, okay, we've this first one, kissing in public. I put down yes. I really like that. It makes me feel special. Would love to hear what it feels like for you. And then that person would say yes or no or maybe. And then you talk about it. And then you're like, cool, now we all know. And then you do the whole list. And then you get on your cool flight. And now you like know exactly what your yes, no, and maybes are. And like you could have a great trip without having to second guess where you are with your relation or with this particular template you've built. So I think it's awesome. Let
I
people, I'm like,
love that. I love that because, I mean, if so, what about the question on, okay, so would that person have the same question as I would have the same questions? And then we take them and we're answering. That's what you're saying. Then we're going to come back and talk about it.
it's sort of like, here's how I describe it. And maybe anyone listening to me is gonna be like, this is ridiculous. But you know when you go get a massage and you're so relaxed and everything's great. And then all of a sudden someone's like, do you want this extra thing for $20 more? And you're sort of like, I was so relaxed. And now I gotta start thinking of money. And I'm like, what do I have on me? My wallet somewhere, my clothes are somewhere else. Who knows? But when you like go get a massage and you pay up front, the tip is up front, everything's up front, no one has to worry about anything. You just like go relax, chill, get your massage, whatever, and then you just say goodbye and leave. How amazing does that feel? Because everyone
Exactly.
already knows the boundaries. Everyone already knows what the pricing is. Everyone already knows what is the expectation here. And that is like, I can see someone being like, well, that's not really spontaneous. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if anyone has experienced the last 2 years of their lives, but I don't want spontaneity anymore. I want a calendar.
Yeah, you said a calendar. Exactly, because
I want a calendar.
what if you're not expecting to sleep with this person on vacation and they are expecting it? So I would think that would be like the number one question on the list, like, are because we're going on a trip together, are you expecting sex? Who's expecting sex, me or you? You know?
Exactly. And like, what a good way to sort of just be like, do I want to continue with this person?
Yeah.
Like putting like your boundaries and your values and who you are up front, and like you're keeping your body safe and your heart safe in the meantime, and also like keeping their heart safe. I mean, we live in a weird world. We live in like a wild, weird world.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, maybe it is okay for us to like start thinking about how things affect other people, how things affect ourselves. We only have one weird life, and like, haven't all of us been inside for 2 years of it? So like, let us like just be find ways to be respectful, because like, if you show that to yourself, if you show like that kind of respect to yourself, and that like, I'm gonna keep my body safe, I'm gonna keep my like heart safe, feelings, like if you do that, your brain starts to go, oh, I deserve this, is cool, I like this. And then you keep doing it. And then it gets easier when you want to talk to another partner about sex or whatever it is, or you need a second opinion from your doctor, or you want to talk to your manager about something. It's again like building that muscle that makes like that transferable experience from either like pleasure or sex or going on a really cool trip with someone that you're not in a relationship with
Yeah.
to like your IRL life. And then back and forth. It's, I think we think of sex and pleasure as this like hush hush
Right.
taboo side thing, but in fact it like it's so influential to like who we are in our real life, in our non-sexy lives. And I think that's really important. It's a tool.
Yeah, having that conversation up front and things like that, and your expectations kind of sets the standards for a lot of things. Recently, it was, I think it was National Nude Day, and I had posted this picture of me by the nude beach sign, and someone commented they wanted to know, how do you get your spouse or significant other, your partner, to go on a vacation at a nude resort? And I was like, you know what? First of all, I'm single, so I have no idea how to get somebody to go on a, vacation to a nude resort. So, I wanted to ask you, because you're body positive and things like that, very confident. Have you been to a nudist resort? And if so, or and if not, do you, can you answer this person's question of how to get somebody to go with you?
So I've never been to a nude resort, but that seems very cool. I've been to a nude beach, like here in New York, like out in the Rockaways, and that's really fun and cool. And the fun thing about it is that there's actually just there's so many cool bodies. It's so interesting. And you realize, like, sure, we all look different, but we're all kind of the same. I mean, for me, I go to a nude beach. I go to any beach. I could be fully clothed, and I'm like slathering SPF 100 on me. So like, there's another concern for me. Like, I'm not getting skin poisoning. I am a little too fair to be out in the sun. I wear sunscreen every single day of my life, so that's my fear. But I
Yeah.
do think, like, yeah, I'm like, no. But like, I do think it's super cool. It's really fun. I think like maybe reframing it as like, how do I get my partner to do something? Because like, we don't want to make our partners do anything that they don't want to do. But we also like are very sweet to our partners. We compromise. We do things that make everyone feel good. Like, I don't like doing the dishes. I do the dishes all the time for my girlfriend because like, I mean, not that it's not the same thing, but like, I do it because I know, or I walk her dog in the morning because she doesn't want to like she works on like a West Coast schedule, so I take the morning shift so she can sleep in. Like sometimes I want to sleep in, but like I do things to make sure there's like we're both okay and we're both cool. And with this, maybe it's like less of like how do I get my partner to do something, or to something like how do I make this an experience for both of us? Like how do I make this into something that both of us can enjoy, and it's not just like I'm doing it for me and this person is doing it just so like tagging along to make this work. And I wonder if it's just a conversation of like how do you feel, comfort, you know, the sun, like I mean being nude, everything, like get your yes no maybe out, like how does that work, have a real discussion about it. And then like if someone's like this is a maybe or a hard no, discuss what it feels like to have like them just go, or maybe taking I don't want to say baby steps because I'm always like it's not let leave babies out of this, but like tiny steps to like to like get to that place, because maybe it is something their partner really wants to do, but they're nervous about like body stuff or body or confidence, whatever. And maybe it's like, okay, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go to, before we even go on this resort, we're gonna have like Tuesdays, we have naked days around the house. So we're all both naked. Everyone's naked. Like, cool. Maybe the partner who like is like interested but is still on that fence and but wants to try, like maybe it's like maybe they're naked at night and they can like feel how they feel, like how their body like sits while being naked. Maybe it's just like that practice round. Maybe it is going to get like going to like a nude spa or something close to home. That's so you're like, I say this a lot, but like the idea of home court, especially around travel, is like when you're in your home court, you feel no, not normal, but you feel like everything's neutralized. Like you're here, like what can anything do to you? Because now you're talking about going somewhere where like you don't know. You don't know what's about to happen. So finding your way to feel comfortable on your own terms, seeing it as like a partner thing that you both can work on and get to like that better, like to a better place or a place where both people want to be. And then like have the discussion about like going to a cool nude resort. And if like they're still concerned about everything, you know what I do? Like especially around like I'm such a brat, but like I will, if I go to like a gym or something for the first time, I'll call up or email and be like, hi, I don't see any fat people in your advertising. And when I do see it, it's before pictures. I'm not a before. Like I'm me. This is what I look like. Do
I
you
love it.
cater? Like, am I gonna feel shamed for being there? Because I will not, because like you don't want me to go, like to get mad. Like I'm so nice until I'm not nice. Like I've taken the New York City subway my entire life. I can go from I'm reading a book to like get out of my face very quickly. Like you don't want me there. And I always like I call ahead or I email ahead and ask, like, you know, I want to feel comfortable here and I want to make sure that I'm not going to feel shamed, whatever. It is totally in your right to ask, especially if the nude beach or the gym is like less than inclusive in their advertising. So I think it's just like the tiny steps to get there. That's all it really is. It's the same way as when we all learn how to do anything. It's just like we take tiny steps to get to where we need to be. That's my long answer.
I mean, I don't know why I didn't even think of that, because I talk to people all the time about solo travel, taking tiny steps, like, you know, maybe have a drink at a bar by yourself, then maybe dinner by yourself, a movie, working your way up to that. I didn't even think about tiny steps to working your way up to a new resort, like starting your house, spend one day being naked all day. I didn't even think about that. I mean, that's really good advice on working your way up to a, you know, nude resort or nude beach or something like that. Amazing.
Oh, good. Yay.
Simple
I'm
and amazing.
you're like Tuesdays, I'm naked. Like you're like today's Tuesday, we have to be naked.
And then you got to take the next step, because we talk about travel pictures, and I think you mentioned this in your book about taking amazing nudes, like photos, like can without giving away everything, because we want people to, you know, get your book without giving away everything. Can you give us a little tips on how we can work our way up to taking some amazing new photos?
Yeah, I think I love a nude photo. Like I think first off, I think they're really beautiful. I think nude photos are such an expression of like self-love and care and just being like I want to like immortalize my naked body into something. I'm like very pro the naked image, like good for everyone, good for people. But I think like to even take like a tiny bit step back, the interesting thing about like our brains, and I kind of alluded to this, is like our brains think that the thing that's right or the thing that's correct is the thing that we see all the time. So if we see, if I see this Dunkin' Donuts coffee cup all the time, if that's the only advertising I see, I'm gonna be like, this is apparently the best coffee that's here in the world. I'm gonna have to go get Dunkin' Donuts. That's what I want. I want Dunkin' Donuts. This is an advertisement for Dunkin' Donuts. That's what I've done. So, but that like works in the same way with body image. It's like we have an entire breadth of media and advertising that tells us in order to be like perfect or worthy or value that we have to be some sort of like cisgender, thin, able-bodied person or like white person. And like in order to like feel anything around that, like, or in order to feel like you are worthy, like you have to fit into this like scenario or this standard. And it's completely untrue. And it's like so like drilled into every single thing. You go on every streaming service, you go on every advertisement, you go everywhere. It's like there's a common thread, and like the common thread is who is being casted, who is like propped up as this like value, this valuable person. Those people also have value. That's very cool of them, good for all of them. But it's more like we have so many other people in this world that like deserve, should believe in their own value. So I would say a great way to start taking nudes is like those babies, or not baby, those tiny steps first of like getting comfortable with feeling just naked, because like being naked is not just like standing there in the mirror and be like, okay, cool, I'm naked, like super fun. But feel like what it feels like to be naked while sitting down and having like your stomach or your butt or whatever it is, like sort of just like lay in a relaxed mode. Like what does it feel like to just like have like your thigh lay in some air, like lay in like a particular way without having to like suck it all in or scrunch up or feel uncomfortable. Like feel your body relax into the mode that like you want to feel comfort in. And then of course, the more your brain sees you doing this, like the more you're in the mirror, the more you possibly like populate your social media page or your feed with like people who look like you or don't look like you or whatever it is, and you want to feel inspired by that, the more your brain is going to be like, oh, this thing that I've been taught my whole life, sure, it's cool and right, but this can also be right. And I can also fit into this world and I can also feel good about this. And then, like, truly after that, like, after you do that, and like, of course, it's not one, two, three, fix. Forever and ever, you're going to be confident for the rest of your life. It's a constant journey. But like as you start to see that and see that like, oh, my brain is starting to change, it's starting to recognize that this is also good. You can then it's like technical. And then it's like get yourself a selfie stick. Get like a cool light, like find a way to play with light. Maybe you have an entire date night for yourself where you like go get a sip of wine somewhere and you like wear like the sexiest thing underneath your clothes, or you like wear something cute and you come home and you're just like, I'm feeling good. And that's when you take your naked selfies. Like do it when you feel good, and then you have them forever. I mean, unless your phone breaks or like something crashes, unless like technology turns itself against us, which who knows. And then you like when you have that weird day where you're like, I don't feel good in this body, you have an entire album or a few photos to remind yourself that you felt this way at some point. So this weird feeling, this bad feeling you're feeling, it's gonna pass. It's like no one escapes feeling like having a bad body image day. No one. Not even, I always say Zac Efron, because I think I may have mentioned Zac Efron in the book somewhere, but I sometimes talk about him on my newsletter, and only because I think it's so funny. I'm just like, me, someone who has no, I've never really watched a movie of his. I'm just like, even Zac Efron, like Mr. Billion Abs, does not live a life in which he wakes up and every single day is great. That's not possible. And I'm sure he has a really hard time with like certain things. Sure, he probably has a mansion somewhere and like things are good in that end. But like it's not possible. And that's why like I sometimes worry about body positivity. Like I really love it and I think body positivity is really smart and cool, but I really want to start being like, "Hey, it's okay to not like yourself for a day." In fact, feel it. What does it feel like to not like yourself? Now you know. And now you have a whole image of album. For me, it's like albums after albums of like naked images, lingerie images, tester images. And I can be like, oh, remember when I did that? You got this. It'll be okay.
And that moves you closer to embracing, your size, your sexuality, things, everything that's on your body. Because I would say it probably helped you moving from, because when you were talking about it, I was like, how would I look in the mirror at myself or lay there with no clothes on without judging myself? I mean, that's probably the hardest part to get past of not judging yourself, moving into that comfort zone. How do you not judge yourself?
That's like I it's funny because like judgment and shame and all of that, like they're so connected to how we grew up and so connected to the things that we like learned about ourselves as like as kids, as teens, as like young adults and everything. And so I think for that, it's like I think the one thing I really wanted to do in my book and in all the work I do is like, sure, you can go have sex, do whatever you want. That's super cool, hot. Go on your cool vacation with the person that you're not in a relationship with. Super fun. But like that idea of judgment around sex and around being naked, whatever, there's a part of all of this that's like, go back to the beginning. Recognize like the things that you were told. Like, what are the things that were told to you that you heard growing up that like made you feel like you had to judge yourself or shame yourself or that influenced the way your brain is like thinking in this scenario or the way that like you carry yourself is because of this thing. Like, go back. Like, I am a huge, huge proponent of like therapy, of like, do I love a self-guided workbook. Like, I love stuff like that. My therapist knows me so well. She's always like, here's this, she just sent me one today. She's like, here's this values workbook for you. And I was like, thank you, Melissa. You understand my like my A plus personality, I think, my like workbook love. But I think that there's sometimes often this shame around like trying to figure out what like who we are and the things that we do and the reasons why we think this way, because like shouldn't we all just be like shutting up and moving forward with it? But because if we don't, then like we have to open up all these like wounds of our lives and like that just slows us down. But like I truly just like give yourself some time to unpack some of the things that you've been told your whole life and like unpack it. Figure out if it's kind of silly or maybe it is real or whatever it is. And then like let that inform that like thought in your brain that's like, I'm judging myself right now. Like, cool. Maybe I do a thing like I name my voice in my head. Her name is Rebecca. She's ridiculous. And like I think sometimes like separating yourself from Rebecca and being like Rebecca's in your head makes it easier for you to be like, okay, Rebecca, because if Rebecca literally told me on the street like, no, you don't look good, I'd be like, Rebecca, are you about to cut some hands right now, Rebecca? Like, Rebecca, who the hell do you think you are? Yeah, so sometimes like maybe separating that voice is like a little easier on top of like unpacking that stuff and like let it like inform those that voice a little bit more. That's a long-winded answer to be like, go to therapy.
No, you're dropping some really good tips out here because even, I mean, like Rebecca, like you, this is so true because if someone out on the street said that to me, I would, like you said, you want these hands, you wouldn't allow it. So why allow it from your own self? I love that. If you name it, you can call that personality out and like, hey, don't talk to me that way.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. Like My favorite, so not to sidebar, but my favorite show in the entire world is RuPaul's Drag Race. I know
Yeah.
anyone can watch it and just be like, this is just like drag queens competing. I'm like, no, yes, but no, there's so much more to it. And the one thing that RuPaul always talks about is your saboteur, your inner saboteur. And it's like that Rebecca. It's like that inner saboteur that's telling you that you're not good enough, but yet you're like surrounded by other drag queens that are like Olympians in their field, and yet you're apparently not good enough. Like, remember, like that voice in your head is being informed by the judgment and shame that you learned growing up and the things that you like were told you couldn't do or shouldn't do or whatever for whatever reason. And Rebecca is formed by that, or your inner saboteur is formed by that. And so, like, I always feel like that imposter syndrome, especially at work. I'm like, I'm not good enough, whatever. And then I'm like, me, a published author, apparently, like I'm not good enough to be here. And you just have to like take a step away from Rebecca or your inner saboteur, whatever you want to call them. And sometimes I do a thing. Sorry, not to be like side note, side note, side note. I do a thing where I tell Rebecca, I'm like, thank you for your input, Rebecca. I'm just gonna like leave it here for a hot second. And I like visually think about like putting that comment somewhere else. And then I like get on with my day. And I try really, I at the end of the day, I'm like, dude, I remember what Rebecca had to say to me. Sometimes no, because I don't want to hear from her.
That is so funny. You know, because like you mentioned, that inner shame can keep you from a lot of things, to block you from a lot of things. So I know you talk about also like sex toys and women's pleasure and not being taboo, but that inner shame can kind of keep you away from, you know, your pleasure, your female pleasure. What made me think of this was like when people go on vacation, guys are always like, hey, if I see a girl and I like her, I'm going to hook up with her on vacation. I don't care if it's vacation. But as women, we may like that guy too. And we're like, no, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to have a vacation fling or anything like that. You know, how do you feel about vacation flings in regards to, this is something I want to do, but I feel shamed. I don't want to do it.
I feel this so hard. I first of all, I love a vacation fling. Like, I mean, good for people. Like, you know, good for the things and do the things you want. Especially since like on vacation fling, you could really like assert your value and your boundaries and really like practice it in a way that like possibly like Laura in New York versus Laura in Italy, like would like maybe it'll be a little bit more shy to do. Whereas Laura in Italy, I'm truly just like manifesting, verbally manifesting my like Italian vacation trip right now. I'm like, yeah, Laura in Italy. She like maybe Laura in Italy like is really feeling her like Sophia Loren fantasy, and she's like, I'm going to test out my boundaries here. I'm going to work on this like for myself. I'm going to assert myself. If someone wants to do something and I don't want to do it, nope, I can go back to my Airbnb or whatever it is. I truly think like I understand that voice in all of our heads that's like, I mean, Rebecca possibly, but like that voice where it's like, no, you're gonna, this is like unethical, or like it's shameful to do this, like. And it feels weird. Like this is just like a pleasurable thing. And I think what we have to start doing as a society is just like divorcing pleasure from this, like from something that's like immoral and pleasure. And like, I think that's with everything. That's like sometimes I'll be like, you don't like in my brain, I won't drink water for a while. 'Cause I'm like, no, you don't drink water. You don't deserve water. You didn't like put in this X amount of work. And I'm like, you deserve some water. And I think it's like this same thing. It's the same thing of like deserving pleasure. Like we all deserve to have that beautifulness of pleasure, and like advocating for your pleasure and advocating for like what you care about, and like seeing it as this like beautiful way to like get to know yourself versus like I like I'm supposed to feel bad about having like sex on vacation. And
Right.
so much of that, and like, I don't know all the stats and all the data around this, but as a cool, I mean, I don't know about cool, but like as a cool lady who grew up in a Catholic family, who like I went to church every single Sunday, all the stuff, so much of my guilt around sex and especially around like sex somewhere else is surrounded by my like how I grew up with religion and how I grew up in culture. And especially around like early 2000s, how we take care, like, 'cause I was a kid in the early 2000s, like, how I saw women treated who like wanted to feel pleasure. And it just always was a thing where it's like, no, if you give into that temptation, if you're Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee having a beautiful like vacation sex with each other, even though they were married or
Right.
whatever, we see that as like her, that she is like some immoral, like quote unquote negative phrasing slut. If I go on vacation and have sex, I'm some immoral, whatever,
Right.
whatever, slutty slut. And who is it really hurting? Like, I think it's just
Exactly.
I truly think it's just about like reframing that conversation for yourself, saying, like, telling yourself that it's a really fun way to get to know who you are and to develop those skills and those muscles for your boundaries and values. And also, if like this other person, if you're going on vacation and you're like, yes, I want to like go on multiple dates, I want to be with you for the rest of your life, but you know you're leaving on Sunday, like,
Right.
maybe that's not cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's not nice. Not really keeping anyone's heart safe. But if you're just like, I want to go on a cute date and I want, and like I'm leaving in a few days and I just want to like go experience the city in a different way and I want to like have a really pleasurable time here. What's so wrong in that? I think it's like really smart actually.
Right. I think it's like the shame. I don't know. I went to Dominican Republic last year, and my mom listens to some of these episodes, and some of them she doesn't. Hope this is the one that she misses. But you know, and so I was really attracted to this guy that worked there, and so you know, I didn't like 100% hook up with him, but you know, we kissed outside my room, you know, and I was like, I'm not
That's so
telling
cute.
anybody, you know. I was like, I thought it was fun. I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. I can't believe I did that. I was like giggly on the inside because I was like, that's totally out of my comfort zone. But then, you know, I didn't want to tell anybody. Now I've shared it with the world, but I didn't want to tell anybody because, you know, I felt ashamed like somebody's going to judge me or something like that. But at the time, I thought it was so fun. And it was like my little fun secret. And I was just like laughing on the inside, you know? It's the
I
shame and the
love that.
judgment.
It truly is. And it's like sometimes I think that we're like, as a society, we're like getting past it and we're cool and everything. And then there are times where like a celebrity's nude is leaked and you're just like, wow, this cycle keeps happening. We keep just shaming. And especially, I mean, like, I'm not trying to be certainly not anti-men, but like it often happens to just women and feminine people. It's always towards like femininity and or people who present feminine, and like it's just another way in which we like control women's bodies. If you have sex, if you kiss someone, whatever, and you're like on vacation or you're not married or blah blah blah, you're a harlot, you're immoral or whatever it is. And it's just like it's just control. It's just like how we've like decided to control pleasure. Like I think about this all the time, and it makes that shame voice kind of go away a little bit. Is I think about every beer truck food ad where there's like a hot, cool lady in a bikini and they're selling beer. She's selling that beer. She's not wearing any clothes. All good. So good. But the moment that same person does something else like on their Instagram or like they are in a movie where they're like in a bikini, how dare they? How dare they? So it's like how we framed it. Like the moment that we take ownership of our personal pleasure, it's for some reason of devalue. But the moment that like an advertiser can go sell a burger on top of a car. I've
Yep.
actually seen, I know that that is actually a an ad somewhere. I
Is
don't remember
yeah,
what it was.
Carl's Jr., Paris
Oh my
Hilton, Carl's
goodness.
Jr.
Yeah, like she's a great example of
Yeah.
just like we're gonna ruin this woman's life because like she had a sex tape or she dresses it like with less clothes. Like, who cares?
Right. How is
You
that
know?
affecting anybody else's life? It's not
And so
affecting anybody's
now
life.
I try really hard, especially when I do like when I write articles, when I talk to people, or when like a scandal happens like that. I'm always like in the person in the room, and I'm pretty sure I'm a downer, but it's fine. I'm trying to do this for all of us. I'm always a person like we should really think about how she feels. Let's like
Yeah.
not I'm not going to share anything about this because it's super disrespectful to her, because like or this person, because like they didn't want that to happen. That's un that's like this person didn't give consent to share this in the world. Like, we should really reconsider how it damages people and who actually should be like shamed around
Right.
things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so true. I mentioned a few things that was in your book, My Pleasure. Tell us a little bit about your book that you wrote and what's in it, what good tips or, self-care motivation people can find in your book and how it can help them.
Oh my God, so much stuff. So my book, My Pleasure, An Intimate Guide to Loving Your Body and Having Great Sex, it's a mouthful, is this really interesting, cool book that anyone can pick up and get something from it. And I really wanted to adopt the model of just being like, hey, I don't know anyone's individual experience. I'll never be an expert in anyone's like personal life. And I never want to claim to be because guess what? Like my experience is different than your experience is different from every single person I've ever met's experience. There are things in the book that like is for people just to like navigate on their own, questions to ask themselves and have it like inform their journey. So the book is this like really interesting chapter by chapter journey of like, who are you and what is your story? Doesn't even have to talk about sex. Like we're not even talking about pleasure, but it's just like, who are you? Like what has informed you to this point on? Like for me, it's like I'm an Italian weirdo from the Bronx who grew up on the train and like experienced X, Y, and Z things growing up that like made me feel this way now. And then the second chapter is like, okay, cool. Now we know that. Cool. We got that. Also, I sound the way that I write, so it's very like there's a lot of parentheses that are like LOL, which I like was very as much as I always think like, oh, you don't sound like you sound like much, not that I think I sound younger, but I'm always like, oh, you sound like a kid. But I really liked it because I was like, I didn't want anyone to pick up this book and be like, oh, some expert highbrow person is like trying to like dictate what pleasure is to me. That's not
Right.
cool. So like after you know the things you've gone through and you've like put it down on paper or put it down mentally in your brain, then it's like, okay, cool. Now we're gonna date ourselves. We know all this information. Now we're gonna figure out what our real pleasure is. Like, is it drinking water, a bunch of water? Is it masturbation? Is it not looking at your cell phone? And I do this. I turn all my notifications off. I don't want to talk to anyone. It's my favorite. That's my favorite pleasure. Like what is it? And like let's find ways to adopt that like in our days and our weeks. Like I know we all got busy schedules, so like how are you gonna do that? Here's how you do it. And then it's like talks about solo play, like masturbation, and then it goes into like, cool, now we've done this. Let's talk about the sex toys that can enhance this. And then it's like, cool, we've done this. Now let's talk about partner play and how we can enhance it with all these things that we just learned. And so the book is this like really interesting portal into like how you get to yourself to like feel pleasure built off these other like pieces of information. And I think the one thing that I hope people get out of it is that every single person deserves pleasure. Because when you put your pleasure first, and that could be sexual pleasure, it could be turning off your notifications, world's best pleasure. When you put your pleasure first, you make good decisions for yourself. And when you make good decisions for yourself, it informs how you walk through the world. And that informs how you talk to your sexual partner or your doctor or a friend or your boss or whatever, and it makes it so that you as a person are always putting your pleasure first. And so that plus a lot of like weird side notes from me of like being like a 90s obsessive boy band girl, like I think the whole first chapter is like an introduction to me and just me being like, hey, I'm a weirdo, I love dogs, get ready, I sound like this the whole time, have a good time, take what you need from here.
Wow, that was amazing.
That You're amazing, was, Erica.
No, that was amazing. I mean, you got me pumped, like, oh my God, you know, let me find my pleasure so I can, you know, rule my world, rule my life, you know, get in tune with who I am. I'm like, oh wow, okay. That is powerful.
Oh my God, thank you. I mean, and it's also like, hey, some days you're going to feel like wanting to do this. And some days you're not. Like yesterday, I was like, I'm not, I don't feel any of
yeah.
this. But you know, but then you start to realize like, this is going to pass because like, I have the nudes, I have the workbook, I have the thing in my brain that tells me that it will pass.
Yes.
And so then you get, then it passes and you fall asleep and you wake up the next day and you do a cool podcast interview and you're back. Like I'm in my bathroom.
And like you're back, you bounce back.
Yep. And yeah, cause that's what humans do.
I love it. You have really given some really good information and tips and direction in life and finding your pleasure. I absolutely truly enjoyed it, and I'm sure the listeners have enjoyed it. And where can people find you, follow you, if they want to continue to get this inspiration on finding your pleasure and body positive imaging and everything?
Oh my goodness. Well, first off, you can find me on Instagram at Hey Laura Hey with three Y's at the end. It's very much like Hey Laura Hey, because there's no part of my life that isn't silly. And then my website is lauradelorado.com, which has like my like 9-to-5 work, my 5-to-9 work. I'm available everywhere. And then I'm on Twitter at Laura Delorado. And then I'm also on LinkedIn in case anyone's wants to connect on the professional level, but truly I'm somewhere on the internet. And then the book is available where books are sold, and it's from Chronicle Books, and it's like I'm just very, very grateful for all of it, honestly.
Oh, wonderful. So every link and everything that Laura has mentioned, of course, are going to be in the show notes on ericajamestravel.com. So the link to her book, where you can find her and her website and everything is going to be in the show notes. So get out there and look for her. Hey, Laura. Hey.
Yeah. Thanks, Erica.
All right, everyone. I hope you enjoyed episode number 83, talking about how sex, dating, and travel all intersect with our special guest, Laura Delorado. All the important resources and information mentioned in this episode can be found in the show notes that are on ericajamestravel.com. Everywhere you can follow and communicate and keep in touch with Laura will be on the show notes for episode number 83 on ericajamestravel.com. Thank you for listening all the way through. As always, make sure you subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And it would really mean a lot to me if you went to Apple Podcast and rated the episode and the show and let me know what you think and let me know what else you want to hear. I appreciate you. Peace out.